Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. As you know, all of these podcasts would not happen without all of my amazing sponsors, and I wouldn't have those sponsors if my audience didn't go to their websites, purchase things from their websites, and support those sponsors. And I'm so thankful that all of you have been doing exactly that. There's not a single month that goes by that I don't receive feedback from companies like Luxon MX. You can save 10% off every single order with Big MX 2025 at checkout. And same thing with Backyard Designs. Those guys are amazing. And now they also do custom paint jobs. They do custom wraps on your helmet, and that can be discounted as well. Big MX 24 saves you 24%. I talked to Jared about making that a 25% discount code. Yeah, it's only one extra percent, but hey, it all helps, right? So go to the website. As of right now, it's BigMX24, but we're looking to change that for February. Same goes with Racetech, guys. If you mention Racetech when ordering parts, you're going to save, I believe it's 15%. Same goes with WUSA. If you're looking at a brand new set of wheels, maybe if you're just looking for you can take your stock hubs and get a set of wheels built, mention Big MX Radio, you're going to save some money. Guts Racing, Big MX 20 saves you 20% at checkout. So far it's been really amazing working with some of these companies. We don't have a discount code for Moose Racing yet, but we're looking forward to working with those guys throughout the year, and they've got some great offerings on the gear side of things as well as the hard parts. If you haven't checked out Moose Racing's hard parts, honestly, they've got some of the best in the business and certainly some with the best bang for your buck. So I would seriously go check those guys out. We're also working with race winning brands this year. A couple of companies that have sort of jumped on board to be advertisers here on Big MX Radio, Pro-X. Not only the pistons, but also the myriad of hard parts that they also have, as well as Recluse clutches. If you're in the woods, you're going to want a Recluse. It's just the thing to use out there when you're going over the roots and the rocks and all that fun stuff. A Recluse clutch is something that you're definitely going to want to look into if you're doing some more of that. But we're about 2 minutes into this podcast. We haven't talked about the racing, so let's get straight to it. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to support my sponsors. Would not be able to do it without them, and would not be able to do it without listeners like you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. This episode brought to you by Luxon MX. You can go to Luxon MX right now and enter discount code BigMXRadio2025 and save 10% off your entire order. On a pair of triple clamps, that's basically like me handing you $100. So we thank you guys over at Luxon MX for sponsoring this podcast. With me on the line, we've got a very special guest. He is a member of the Fast Fitch family, of which he's one of five different siblings. He's the middle child. He's McCaden in the middle. McCaden, how's it going?
Oh yeah, good. How are you?
Hey, not doing too bad, man. How are things down in MTF? Word has it when you left last week that there was some snow on the ground, which is quite rare.
Oh yeah, things are going good right now, and yeah, we got some snow a couple weeks ago, or like a week ago.
Yeah, no doubt.
That was definitely crazy. You don't see snow in Georgia much, but
especially southern Georgia. I've only been to that neck of the woods a couple of times, but it's not crazy to think that you guys hit like a snow record all in that one day.
Oh yeah, we actually hit like quite a bit, like definitely quite deep. They said it was supposed to only be like 5 inches, but we got about a foot of snow. So that's pretty gnarly.
So did like as for a guy, you're originally from Colorado, correct?
Oh yeah, we got snow all the time.
I was gonna say, so that you're basically just old hat for you. You're like, oh yeah, check this out, guys, and just take the pit bike out. What was the approach there?
It was definitely kind of like you got a lot of the kids here that haven't seen snow. So like all of them are out there having fun. So obviously you got to go out there and join in, do a little bit of the fun stuff, pit bikes and dragging each other with side by sides. So no, that was pretty cool.
Love it. No, yeah, it's always the winter wonderland at Millsaps training facility when Colleen and the rest of the crew aren't cracking the whip for you guys to drop your lap times.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd imagine you were kind of off the bike over the last weekend here. Youngest, I guess your younger brother, the second youngest of the whole clan, Riker. He lines up for the KJSC. He ends up winning the damn thing. Did you ever get an opportunity to race that back in the day?
So, yeah, we actually tried to get me in. I never was able to get in, but we definitely tried. But yeah, no, that was sick. He's barking for there for a minute. So,
no
yeah,
doubt,
no, that was
like,
pretty good.
Yeah, doing battle with Connor Berglund and taking home the victory. Like, it's one thing to ride the KJSC. It's a whole other thing to, like, say that you won it. And, yeah, like a little tip of the cap to him. And you've got an amateur career of your own right, man, making a lot of moves and with obviously with NSA Yamaha kind of folding previously or over this off season. Donnie Luce, able to keep a number of racers continuing on that and actually adding to it in some respects as well. And you're on there with the Altus Motorsports Yamaha Factory Yamaha Racing team. You got to be feeling good about that.
Oh yeah, pretty solid. It was definitely cool that he was able to keep us going. So very thankful for that. But yeah, no, definitely excited to be able to stay a part of it and excited for the future of them. So.
Fair enough. So how did the whole thing come together? You don't have to give me too much information on sort of the dissolving of the NSA side of things, but it's awfully nice to see some good was able to come of it, and a whole new program with a ton of great backing, and some sponsors stayed. It looks like you guys are in, a lot of you are still in Moose Racing, and obviously Monster Energy is basically like that's continuous basically throughout, although I think that might be, there's a lot of personal deals in there, but let's just get it straight from the horse's mouth. What's the deal?
Oh yeah, so obviously the whole thing with NSA, which is kind of sucks, but I mean, things happen. It's the motocross industry, but yeah, so Donnie Luce kept us going, moved us to the Altus team, so that was pretty cool. And then yeah, basically my contract for everything is identical, just different team names, so different people, but different team names and stuff, and just exact same contracts. So very thankful for that.
No kidding. And this isn't sort of something that I think I saw starting to sort of come to fruition with Lachlan Turner. If I'm not mistaken, it was as even early as Loretta Lynn's of last year. She was already running the Altus Motorsports graphics, and it started to kind of take that whole program started to take shape from there.
Yeah, she actually kind of, started like kind of like the big bike, I'd say 250 mm-hmm. and all that at Loretta's, and then from there after that they picked up, they had Colby Lesser for like a while since like Freestone and stuff like that mm-hmm. and then Lala kind of started like the whole 250 program, I'd say, and then Donnie kind of just after the NSA thing just transferred us over there. So
like it. So we can't get too far into this without going over the nickname, like Magoo is
oh yeah,
it's synonymous with motocross, although many, many years before you were on the scene. McCaden as a first name in general is a little bit off the map, but yeah, what's in a nickname, man? Why do people call you Magoo?
So the whole thing behind it was when I was first born, like a baby, my dad, there was this TV show called Mr. Magoo back then. And for some reason, my dad thought I looked like him when I was a baby, so he just called me Mr. Magoo when I was little, and it's kind of just stuck since then, so.
Okay. All right. I like, he's like, so for those who don't know, or if you're listening, Mr. Magoo was like known for being like nearsighted, farsighted, and everything in between. Not very, not a lot of foresight there, or actual, the ability to see. That was the whole premise behind most of the episodes. Like, were you just a squinty kid?
I guess. I don't even know. Like, honestly, I didn't really know. Like, I actually, when I was probably about like eight, I think, or eight or nine, I actually asked him about it. And because I didn't really know. He just kind of called me Magoo. Mm-hmm. And then, I ended up searching it up that day, and, I seen who, like, he was talking about. And I was like, I really don't know how I look like him, but I don't know. I guess dad just saw something in it.
Yeah, I don't know. We might have to get Bob on the call at some
Oh,
point
yeah.
to get to the bottom of that. In fact, I think for those, yeah, like I spoke to you off air. Like I actually had your dad. I actually it's not an interview that ended up on the podcast, but I did release it for social media back in 2017. Milestone MX. He was full privateering it, and it wasn't even that long ago that old Robbie was signing himself up for some Supercrosses. So. Is there at all like a chance that the two of you might sign up for the same professional race in the coming years?
Oh yeah, so that was kind of one of Dad's main things was he's always wanted to do a race together as like a pro like father son kind of deal. And next year I'll be doing futures, so he's going to sign up for a couple of those rounds, but he still wants to do like a pro father son race. So when I turn pro, he said he's going to try and keep going till then, so that'll be pretty sick.
No doubt, because we have seen a few, obviously, Hayden Deegan, Brian Deegan, although I don't think Brian's lining up anytime soon. I'm fairly certain that John Dowd and his son lined up for the same Southwick. Wouldn't be surprised if John Dowd was actually faster. But yeah, like it's kind of cool to see the next generation start to come through. You must have been pretty young going to the races with your dad and sort of seeing him like racing at a high level in Colorado. Like what was that experience like for you? And did that sort of like stoke the fires to want to do it yourself?
Oh yeah. Ever since I actually got my first dirt bike when I was 2 years old, so that was kind of a very quick start, but yeah, since I was born, I've been at the racetrack every single day. So it's
There you
just kind of
go.
like engraved in my head at this point. All I want to do is win. So
There you go. I don't know what you'd do without it. But what was the first bike? Was it a PW? Was it a JR? What was the first bike?
oh yeah, we had a brand new, shoot, I don't even know what year it was, like a 2012, I think, PW50.
Good Lord, man. That makes me sound awfully old starting riding in 1999. Yeah, you're how old? You're 15?
14.
14 years young, already on big bikes. Yeah, that's I got them on them at 14 as well. What was that sort of transition like for you, going from the 85 Super Mini to a full size bike? Like, did you spend some time on a 125 as well, or what was the deal?
Yeah, so I was supposed to be on Super Minis this entire year, like through Loretta's, but after Freestone, he kind of just had a bunch of issues with the Super Minis, and I was just getting so big on them and blowing them up a bunch. So we ended up actually from we went to Freestone, and straight in between Freestone and Spring-a-Ding, we had my mom bring down a 125, and then we signed up Spring-a-Ding for the 125 class, and that was my first race. Like, didn't even get to ride the bike or anything, just kind of jumped out there and sent it. So yeah, no, I spent I'd say probably around like 4 months on a 125, and then right after Loretta's, we went straight to the 250s. So
Boom. Yeah, no, like going to the 125, I think honestly power to weight ratio, they're not a whole lot different than a high strung super mini. Obviously in full race trim, they might pack a little bit more of a punch. But aside from like frame geometry and obviously like having the same size wheels, same size frame, and like the seat height, there is like a 125 to a 250F is a large departure, especially in 2025. Take me through the adjustment to getting on that thing and starting to feel comfortable right away.
oh yeah, so my main thing kind of for the 125 is just like kind of get ready for the big bikes and build some muscle. Like that was kind of really, because I wasn't even going to do 125s early, and then kind of just got on the 125 and felt that I needed to build a little more muscle. So kind of just let my muscle mature a little bit. And then as soon as I got on the 250 after Loretta's, it was perfect. Like I've always been a good 4-stroke rider since I was little. We actually, during Super Minis, were thinking about getting me a CR150. So we yeah, I've always liked 4 strokes a lot, so that transition to the 250 was definitely huge.
And then so this year we're not doing futures, or I guess it's not called futures anymore, it's SX Next. What's like? So this year, are you going to put any time on a supercross track, or does the MTF program kind of have you more pigeonholed to just work on outdoors and that specifically? What's the deal?
Yeah, so we're actually going to do, we were going to do some futures this year, but we just, Yamaha didn't really feel that I was ready. So kind of just took the kind of just waiting patiently till next year, get ready more. So yeah, no, but I've been on Supercross this entire month of January. Nothing after January, just kind of through January. I've been on Supercross 2 days a week and then motocross 2 days a week. So just kind of equaling it out. But yeah, definitely been on Supercross a little bit and just trying to engrave that Supercross kind of riding and stuff. And while I'm young, so.
Fair enough. Yeah, get you used to it. That Futures program or the Next program has certainly helped racers get adapted to it. We see just this last weekend, the entire podium were all teenagers. We had not seen that since 2011. And then if you look back at a time like that, like you're talking about guys like Ken Roczen, like Eli Tomac, like Dean Wilson, stuff like that. It's been a while since we had a crop of really young racers coming through and having success right away. For you, what is the biggest adjustment in getting into Supercross? Obviously, bowl turns, they're a lot different than, say, like an open corner on a motocross track. Obviously, the jumps, you're having to be a little bit more precise. But what have you been struggling with?
I've definitely been working on my corner speed a lot and timing jumps a lot more because timing jumps, there's that hundredth of a second in qualifying when you get to the pro level. So definitely working on my timing and stuff. And then whoops, I'm trying to engrave whoops into my program while I can. So, and I've kind of struggling with whoops a little bit, but I got plenty of time. So I've been trying to work with whoops as much as I can. But yeah, definitely timing and corner speed probably.
So are you out there by yourself? Like, is your dad with you at all? What's that sort of that program look like? And then we can possibly talk a little bit about sort of the off the bike stuff.
Out here at MTF, we have Colleen and Brian, obviously. And then, so I'll do like Monday, Tuesday, motocross with Brian and Colleen. And then I'll take a Wednesday off and I'll do Thursday, Friday, Supercross with Brian. And then my dad's out there. Like, my dad actually came out about a week ago, I think it was, and was out there ripping Supercross with us. So, yeah, that one's pretty good. But, yeah, he's always out there with me.
Fair enough. Like, are we anywhere close to dad's pace? And what will the day be like when you pass him?
Oh, yeah. We already passed him, so we got Big Fitch cover now. He definitely got me in the He's got whoop speed on me, though. I'll say that. He's got whoop speed on me, but no, I got him everywhere else now.
Fair enough. I think that might have a little bit of dad strength plus the just like years of experience of sending it in there. That is awesome. Yeah, already starting to battle with your old man. There'll be some bragging rights when you show up to your first Supercross, and if you're in the fast 40 and he's not, like I'm sure in your amateur career, there's been some quiet rides home. Might be for a different reason that night. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely been some quiet rides home, but it's all just learning.
Yeah.
Learning experiences. But, yeah. No, it's definitely sick being able to rip with him. He's getting old, but he's still got that whoop speed in him. So, yeah, it's pretty sick.
That's awesome. So throughout your career and time racing, there's been some quiet rides home, but there's also been some very triumphant moments as well. Times where you've been able to have some really clutch rides. Touch on those if you can. Just sort of talk about times that you were able to it's a pressure filled moment when you're rolling into say the third moto of a championship. You have to deliver, and you're able to do exactly that.
The way I look at pressure is just kind of like you can't really give yourself much pressure. Like, you're going to go out there and ride as best you can ride and get a start, so that'll put you where it's going to put you, and you can't really ask for more. But I handle pressure pretty good. Just try and keep it off my shoulders. You know, I know what I'm out there to do, so I have one vision, and that's just win. So.
Fair enough. This question might be a little bit off the board, but there's a lot of athletes that train down at MTF, some full time, some not. Who is somebody that trains down at MTF that not enough people know about? Like, if there's some kid that like that's like maybe a little bit lesser known, maybe they're in the B class, but like lately they've been hauling the mail, and you can't pick yourself. Who would you say is like? is very quietly doing some good work down there.
I don't know. I'd probably say Tommy Doble.
Okay.
He hasn't been doing too bad. He's definitely up. He's starting to get up there with me now. So yeah, no, he's definitely doing good though. He's been putting in a lot of work.
And there's two different Supercross tracks down at MTF, correct?
Well, in a sense, we don't have two on the facility.
Hmm.
We have the one main pro Supercross, and then we have the amateur Supercross. But
okay.
I mean, I wouldn't really say it's a Supercross, but it's like just the Mini O's replica amateur Supercross. But we have one at Colleen's property. That's our like. We go there when usually when MTF gets rained out, we'll just head out there for Supercross. But yeah, or snowed out. Yeah.
That is awesome. So goals for 2025, I assume spring nationals, maybe see you at the Daytona Amateur Supercross. What's on the schedule? What's on the horizon? And yeah, what do you look to accomplish when you line up?
No Daytona this year. I'll be there, but we won't be racing Daytona. But Freestone, we got Freestone and then Springeting right after that. And this year we're actually going to do Mammoth. So I'll be at Mammoth and then whatever little races in between there, but Mammoth, Minios, Loretta's, all that stuff. But yeah, definitely, I want to go out there and win. So it's kind of my main goal is just to go out there and win best I can do. So
there you go. So, that being said, are we Schoolboy 1, Schoolboy 2? Are we limited class? Are we full on B class? What is our class of choice?
So this year I am full limited. So I'll do Schoolboy 2 just to get extra track time and
yep.
See what I can do through there. But yeah, definitely Schoolboy 2 and then both limited classes, 450 and 250B limited.
Yeah, it's funny in this, like, if you go back to, like, Loretta's, like, early 2000s, even late 90s, there is footage of, like, Ricky Carmichael racing a 250 two-stroke at Loretta's, which, like,
yeah,
blows my mind. And number 32, I think number 32 is last year. He's just on a 250 two-stroke. The kid's 16 years old. We'd just been 16 and ripping that thing. No small task, I'm sure. You probably haven't even spent any time on a 250, have you?
No, not really. Like, I've ridden one. My dad used to have an old one. He had a Husky 250 two-stroke for a while, and then way back, I think it was like 2020, he had a he went and bought a Enduro YZ 250 two-stroke, and
got the flywheel on there.
Oh yeah, we bought that thing that weekend right before the race, and we showed up, hasn't even rode it or anything, and he had a kickstand on it, and then the zip tie the kickstand to the plastic. So yeah, he's had a few, but no, I never really got to ride him that much.
Yeah, no, it was a whole different ball of wax for those guys. Like, I don't think you were able to ride. I think, like, riding a 125 against in the 250, like, they used to literally back in the day, they'd ride 125 Pro, 250 Pro, or Pro Sport, or whatever it was called. And it was like, now it's more common that, like, most of the top five 450B riders are riding a 250. It's just like, it's like a secondary class for the 250B class.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the 250 is definitely more of like a, I'd say, rider-friendly bike. The 282 strokes are pretty freaking gnarly. Like, they got some mad power to them. So, and, the 250 is definitely just kind of like, it's got that four-stroke smoothness, I'd say. And it's just more of like a easier bike to ride, I'd say.
Yeah, no, it's obviously two-stroke's a whole lot more erratic. And on a two-stroke, that's my bike of choice. I'm actually a KTM guy, but you're always sort of in the wrong gear. Whereas on a four-stroke, aside from being maybe in first gear, there is no wrong gear. You just like they carry a lot longer. You have the torque and all that to come out of the corners. That being said, What do you have to work on in order to get to where you need to be when the gate drops for maybe it is the most important race of the season, which is Loretta's. Like, what are some things that you're working on week to week to be able to put your best foot forward when we all descend on Hurricane Mills, Tennessee, in the last week of July, first week in August?
Yeah, no, I'm just really just trying to focus on making myself better every day. Like, there's always something to learn. I kind of struggle sometimes with not shifting, so I've been making sure lately that we're getting our shifts good and laying off that clutch a little bit. But, yeah, no, I just try and make myself better every day, pushing that limit, like charging into my turns, flowing through turns, not dabbing the foot, so just making myself a better rider and smoother.
There you go, man. Well, I know you've got a ton of great sponsors, great supporters, people in your corner. I give you this opportunity here on the Big MX Radio podcast to give those companies some love, those people some love, and then I'll let you get on with the rest of your day, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, got to put it out there for the whole Yamaha team. Can't thank them enough for giving me this opportunity this year and believing in me that I can do it. So, yeah, I got to thank Donnie Luce and Altus and Jordan, everybody over there, and 100% Moose. They always keep me hooked up. Alpine Star actually just got a fresh set of boots. So, yeah, no, all of them. Bell, keep me safe out there with my head. So, yeah, all of them. Can't thank them enough.
That is awesome, dude. Well, thank you guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Like I said, I'm going to definitely dial up Bob and see if we can't get him on the podcast to go through some of his war stories. he's older than some of the dirt that you ride on at this point.
Oh, but, yeah.
we'll get to the bottom of some things. Magoo, it's a pleasure. Don't hang up just yet. But for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.